Well, for the past 4 weeks, we've been in a series of sermons on Thanksgiving, things that we're thankful for. In sermon number one, we looked at 10 lepers that Jesus touched and physically healed of their leprosy. We call that hopeless, thoughtless, and then thankless. There were 9 of those lepers that never came back and thanked Jesus. There were 9 of those lepers that did not receive salvation. There was 1 of the lepers that came back and thanked the Lord Jesus for the healing, but was also restored to total faith in Christ. Secondly, we looked at the triune God. We looked at God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. We looked also that day at God the Son, Jesus, the redeemer of our sins. And thirdly, on that day, we looked at God the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday morning, we looked at being thankful for a faith that pleases God, and that is a genuine, authentic faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we come to sermon number 4, and I'm entitling this, Thankful for Family. Thankful for Family. Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I always think about 3 things that I think are vitally important in anyone's life. And first of all, our faith. Secondly, our family. And thirdly, our friends. And with that this morning, I want us to look, we looked last week at a faith and the importance of faith in our lives. And this morning I want us to look at being thankful for family. There are 3 things, if you're taking notes today there in the bulletin. Number 1, thankful for personal family. Number 2, thankful for professional family. And number 3, thankful for my spiritual family. This morning, as we look, first of all, I'm thankful for personal family. Have you ever stopped just to think what life would be like without family members? You know, down through the years, many times I have ministered to people, and there would absolutely be not many people in their immediate family whatsoever. In fact, I have been with some people down through the years that only had maybe 1 or 2 people in their immediate family. But if you've ever stopped just to think what life would be like this morning without family members, I realize this morning that not all family members are functional as a family unit together. Many are dysfunctional in our world today. Many are not what we would like for our families to be. But I love the Bible because the Bible just speaks truth. The Bible speaks about the good, the bad, and the ugly. It does not varnish over anything, but it truly exposes things as they really are. I think about the personal family of Joseph. We looked at Joseph a few weeks ago, how Joseph grew up. I think about how, you know, he was favored among his father. His father loved him dearly and deeply, and his father had him a coat of many colors made. And really, because Joseph sort of went around and flaunted himself and told his family that someday they would bow to him, that they would be worshiping, and that he would be the one that would be taking care of them. And of course, they didn't like that, and it created a great rift in the family. There was tension in the family. But whatever you consider Joseph's life, and you think about how that those brothers, they really detested him pretty much. His life was filled with some internal conflicts. And due to those challenges and those ruptures in the family structure, and due to the dysfunctionalism that Joseph dealt with, one day they decided that they would get rid of this nuisance, this brother. And as you well know the biblical story, he flaunted around in the coat of many colors, and And those brothers decided that they would throw him in a pit, and then there were some travelers coming by on their way to Egypt, and they decided they would just sell him off to these travelers. They took that coat of many colors, and they killed an animal and dipped his coat in animal blood, young people, and they went back to their father and showed him the coat and shared with their father that Joseph had been killed by an animal. Of course, the incredible grief that swept over his father was something that was unbearable. But you see, those brothers in that family unit, where there was so much dysfunction, the bitterness, the jealousy, the tension that distanced the brothers from Joseph, let me tell you, they absolutely could not stand him, and they hated him with a passion. Joseph, of course, was sold into slavery. Later, he would wind up into prison because someone accused him of something that was not true. But it was through a series of dreams he was able to interpret for the Pharaoh of Egypt that he was elevated to become the prime minister. And during the days of the great famine that swept the land, Joseph was able to garner in all of the wonderful, wonderful harvest and kept that for those lean years. His brothers, his father eventually moves to Egypt. He exposes himself as their brother, and they truly become ashamed of the way they had treated him in life. And of course, you know the rest of that story. Joseph didn't have it easy in life in a lot of ways, just like many today. Many families today find oftentimes jealousy, finding one parent favoring another child over another, or some kind of axe to grind within the family, things that take place over the years. Joseph could identify with a dysfunctionalism in his own family. And then I think about when the Bible shares about the life of David. When I think about David's life, how very dysfunctional David was. He was an incredible king. He was an awesome king over the nation of Israel. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a great king. He just failed in his endeavors to be the type of father that God would want him to be. I mean, David had a lot of problems in his family. There were dysfunctions in the family. I mean, if you will remember, his daughter, she was about 15 years old, as some commentaries say. She was raped by her half-brother, Amon, and he fell passionately for her fleshly desires. He raped her, and her brother, Absalom, instead of David taking care of this situation in his own family, he let this bypass. But Absalom murdered Amon because of the rape that he perpetrated on his sister. Then in David's own family, Absalom, the son, he loved him dearly. And the Bible speaks about Absalom. He didn't have any physical flaws whatsoever. Handsome at every turn of the road. And yet Absalom got together a coup against his own father to dethrone him from the throne of being the king of the nation of Israel. And in a battle, of course, Absalom dies, and David weeps profusely, crying, "Absalom, my son, Absalom, would to God it had been him instead of his own son." Let me tell you, David knew what life was like to be in a family where there were dysfunctions in the family, where everybody did not get along. I'm often reminded of the scripture that says, "For as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." In other words, as much as it depends upon you. You see, you cannot determine what the other person is going to do, how the other person is going to act, how the other person is going to respond. But for as much as it depends upon you, do your part to be everything that you can be, and then you just have to leave it there. But you see, then I think about Job's family. Job understood what trouble was like in the Bible. Job, young people, had 10 children. And on a particular day, Job was praying for his kids. They had been off at some party. Job didn't know how his kids might have acted or responded, worried maybe that they had done something that would be disobedient to God. He prayed for them. He interceded for them. Let me tell you, there are many parents this morning and grandparents that are praying. They are interceding for their family, for their children, praying God's protection upon their lives. There are many people. Job began to pray. But I want you to know, Job certainly wasn't one that had life easy. On a particular day, young people, the Bible tells us a great storm came up. And in one day, all of David's 10 kids were taken out of this world. And we see in Job's life all of the heartbreak and the heartache. He knew what it was like to lose people significant in his life. He understood what it was like during the glory days of having those 10 kids around during the festive times of life. I think about Thanksgiving in a few weeks. There will be a lot of empty chairs at many people's tables this year. Let me tell you, Job understood grief. Job understood what it meant to have tragedy in his life. Job experienced so many things, and those are not so much a part of the story this morning. Suffice it to say that Job understood that there were problems in life, and he encountered the problems of grief. He encountered pain. He encountered losses with his own health. He lost all of his money. His own wife turned to Job and said, "Why don't you just curse God and get it over with and die?" Basically is what she said to him. Job understood what it was like to deal with problems in life as a family. But then I think about a personal family. I think about Jesus' life. I think about Jesus' family. You see, some of his family did not believe that he was who he claimed to be. Let me give you some Bible verses this morning that tell about Jesus' family. Oftentimes, we don't even think about that Jesus had an earthly family just like we do. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 46 to 50, we read these words, "While he," Jesus, "was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother," Jesus' mother, "and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said to Jesus, 'Behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you.' But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Behold, my mother and my brothers.'" Verse 50 says, "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." We go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 to 56. "He came to his hometown and began teaching them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man," speaking of Jesus, "get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" And then notice in verse 55, some of them said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And he did not do many miracles there." Why? Because of their unbelief. Let me tell you, Jesus knew what it was like to be maligned from life. Jesus knew what it was like to be disbelieved. Jesus understood what it was like that in his own family, that they did not appreciate him for who he said he was. In the book of John, chapter 2, verse 12, "After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days." What I want you to see in these verses is Jesus had a physical family. Verse 18, Luke 8, verse 19. And his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get him because of the crowd. Luke 8, 20, and it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." Mark chapter 6, verse 3. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. John 7, 3. "Therefore his brother said to him, 'Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing.'" 1 Corinthians 9, 5. "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord?" In Cephas, Acts 1, 14, "These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." Mark 3, 21. "When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying, 'He's lost his senses.'" Young people, let me tell you, Jesus didn't have it easy. John chapter 7, verse 5, "For not even his brothers were believing in him." I think oftentimes that you and I fail to realize that Jesus Christ himself experienced human things just like you and I do. He knew what it was like to be rejected. Jesus knew what it was like to be bullied. Jesus knew what it was like to have cruel words leveled against him. Let me tell you, Jesus knew what it was like for people to say, "He's lost his mind. He's lost his senses." People didn't believe that he was who he was. Let me tell you, it wasn't until after the resurrection that his family understood truly who Jesus really was. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. What about your personal family? I mean, we've looked at some of the families in the Bible. We've looked at Joseph. We've looked at King David. We've looked at Job. We've looked at the life of Jesus here. What about your family? What about your family? Is your family a loving family? Is your family somewhat disconnected this morning? Is your family somewhat dysfunctional this morning? Is your family somewhat scattered out there this morning? You see, all of us are a part of someone's family. And some families are incredibly close, and they love each other, and they stay in contact with each other. And they're always there for each other. And then there are other families that they don't have that kind of relationship, unfortunately. Maybe it's due to something that has taken place in the family that has created the tension and the jealousy and the rupture in the family. Maybe you as a father have failed to pass on the spiritual blessing to your children. Maybe somewhere in the clutter of life, your family feels unloved. Maybe your children feel unappreciated. Dads, how long has it been since you told your children how much you love them? You would be amazed. You would be amazed at my 40 years of ministry. How many people through the years I've counseled with that have said to me, "My father never, ever said, 'I love you.' My mother never ever said, 'I love you.'" You see, people's personal families. Let me tell you, Satan is the master liar. He's the master deceiver. He wants the family to be deteriorated. He's the divider. He does not want you to have great self-esteem and self-worth in your family. And when I think about the increase and the intensity of suicides in our day, I'm reminded this morning that there are a lot of kids, there are a lot of young people, there are a lot of adults that have just given up on life. They feel that they're unworthy. They feel they are unloved. They feel unappreciated. They feel that they could never measure up to the expectations. Let me tell you, how long has it been, Mom, that you've told your kids you love them? Dad, how long has it been since you've told your kids that you love them? How long has it been? I always knew my dad loved me. We were miles apart in thought processes and certainly in church life. I knew that he loved me. I never heard him say, I love you, until my mom died. But I remember that vividly. Or I think about my own personal family. There were six of us. Two of my sisters are in heaven today. But there are four of us that are still living. But I want you to know, my living siblings and I, we make contact with each other. If not on a daily basis, at least once a week, we are in contact with each other. Let me tell you, my mother was responsible for that. She left that legacy to us, that we love each other, that we support each other, that we're there for each other. We may not always agree on everything that we think or do, but I want you to know we're always there. We're there. What about your family this morning? Thankful for our personal family. Secondly, this morning, thankful for my professional family. Now, this gets a little hairy here. A lot of people are out there in the workplace, and the professional family may not be what they want it to be. Oh, you'd be amazed down through the years how many people have said to me, if you only knew that person you think is so wonderful, you didn't work for them 30-something years at such and such a place. Hello, am I telling the truth out there? The professional family. Many people all over this world this morning have a professional family. It's where they work, and lots of people this morning love to go to work. They love their workplace. They love the people with whom they share a camaraderie. But then there are others that go to work tomorrow morning that absolutely detest and hate their jobs. There's not that great camaraderie of fellowship and friendship out there where they work, and they really feel that the workplace is a place of disconnection. It's hard. There's no compassion. It's just the daily grind and grill, and there's not really much professional support out there. I think about that Old Testament story of Abraham and Lot. Abraham, God had blessed tremendously. He was very wealthy. He had lots of herds, lots of flocks. He had a nephew by the name of Lot. Abraham helped Lot get wealthy. And one day, their herds became so huge that there was strife among their herdsmen, among the servants. And so Abraham and Lot, they would split up and go in separate directions. And Abraham, being the good man that he was, he looked at his nephew Lot and he said, Lot, I'm going to give you the first choice of the land out there. And Lot, being the very selfish, self-centered person that he was, he looked out over the lush, fertile plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says he pitched his eyes in that direction. It wasn't long before he wound up in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know the rest of the story. God had to send an angel to get him out of there before God destroyed that wicked, sinful place. I think about people this morning in the workplace. Let me ask you a question. At your workplace, in with your professional family, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest of excellence, where would you rate your professional family this morning? Third and lastly, this morning, thankful for personal family. Thankful for professional family. Thirdly, thankful for my spiritual family. Do you have a spiritual family this morning? People say to me over and over and over again, Pastor, what do people do without a church family? Pastor, what do people do when things are bad? What do people do? Where do they go to? Who do they run to if they don't have a church home? Folks, I'm grateful, I'm thankful for New Hope Baptist Church West. I think that it's one of the greatest of church families. Let me tell you, I have watched people labor here. I have watched people work here. And I want you to know, I am proud when people walk out that door and say, what a great church. I want you to know, this past week at Jan Laminack's funeral, this sanctuary was packed to the gills. People were even standing out in the foyer area and around the halls. Let me tell you, I can't tell you how many people walked out and said to me, what a great church. What a great church. What a great group of women that cooked a wonderful meal for our family out there. A football team who filled all of this side that walked out the door and said to me, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you because you recognized us today. A class of 1970 that sat over there in that section. And they walked out, many of them from various places all over the United States, and walked out and said, what a great church. Folks, I want you to know, there are a lot of folks this morning, they don't have a spiritual family. I don't know what they do. My answer is, I don't know what they do. Where do they go when they need a church family? Who do they call on when they need some spiritual counseling in their lives? Let me tell you, I always say this, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus said, if you want a spiritual family, if you want to go to heaven someday, if you want eternal life, you must be born again. Folks, today, I'm thankful. I'm glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Are you part of the family this morning? If you're not, you can be by just reaching out by faith and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and life and be the Lord of your life. This Thanksgiving season, thankful for my personal family, thankful for my professional family, thankful for my spiritual family. Are you thankful? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, today we thank you.